Very good! Ed Berry on the buzzer! What an
Making big shots.
Davis to reply. Yes, he hits a three! 3 3-pointers in quick succession at either end of the floor. The Rocks have it now.
Durham brings it cross mid-court. He's getting harassed by Evans. They still have fouls to give Cheshire. Here's Sloan to the basket. Out to Oymaz. Sloan in the corner for the win. Oh! Can you believe it? David Sloan wins it on the buzzer. And the Caledonian Gladiators go wild.
Hello and welcome to Gladcast Basketball Podcast. We are here for another episode of Gladiators, Are You Ready? And as usual, Mitchell's with us and we're going to run through the games and preview what is another massive week in Caledonia Gladiators basketball. Mitchell, how has your week been?
It's been a very, very busy week, kind of all over the place, obviously, because you were obviously traveling to Romania for the men's game against Sibiu.
Let's pause on that thought. Not even a week ago, you're in Transylvania. That's to me, that just blows my mind. You were there for basketball. Like, that just sounds like such a mad thing to think about, that you were there for like what, two and a bit days or two sleeps, probably. Maybe three sleeps actually. But anyway, however long you were there, long enough to get a stamp in your passport. Like, what an experience that must have been.
It was absolutely incredible. I mean, the travel element was like, it's probably the most travel I personally ever had to do in a short period of time. So we had to get a train from Glasgow Central down to Manchester, fly from Manchester to Munich, and then from Munich out to Sibiu. So you're talking 14 hours. We didn't arrive till 1:30 in the morning, the day of the game. Got to bed, rested up, and then we were on the court for shoot around in the morning and we played them at night. And then 9 a.m. the next morning, we were on a bus heading to Bucharest to fly back home. It's a really quick, short turnaround, but what the experience of it was phenomenal. It was being able to see how other teams operate, see how other fans are, because I'm going to say it right now, Sibiu's fans were amazing. I took a few clips of the game and it was just...
They made the game, considering there was no comms in the game, it really actually gave a sense of atmosphere from the hall and the kind of the ride the fans went on when they were loud. They were noise constant, but when they came back, crept back in the game, it got louder and it was actually fantastic to watch how they got on. So yeah, what a kind of crazy week it's been in Gladiator land. As we just touched on, the men were successful and both teams had such a successful week. The men successfully went and travelled for their first ever Europe Cup game all the way to Romania and came out the 12-point victors against the BCCSU Sibiu. And what can only be said is such a monumentous occasion. Back closer to home at PlaySport, in the amphitheatre on Wednesday night, hours after the men were victorious, the women ran out victors, 73 points to 52 against Portuguese side Benfica. And what has to go down is, at the moment, one of the best days in Caledonia Gladiators history. Mitchell, I'm not sure how much the women's game you will have seen coming with the come down from beating Sibiu, but yeah, sum that up for the club, how massive a day that was.
In terms of putting Gladiators on the map, and not just the domestic, but the European map, it's massive. I mean, you don't often see us beating two relatively powerful teams back-to-back like that, especially ones that there's no expectations for us whatsoever. I mean, I was actually speaking with a couple of the staff members from Sibiu after the game, and they were saying how the local news articles after the game were mentioning it as a massive shock win. They did not expect this from us whatsoever. And to go in there and play as dominantly as we did on the Wednesday, and for the women to do the same thing at home against Benfica, is massive for the club. And it's just a start. And that's what it has to be. It's not just, it can't be a flash in the pan. And we have to be taking that success and moving forward and learning from it to make sure it's a consistency going forward, that we are now seen as a threat for every team we play, domestic and international now. We need to keep that going.
Yeah, and if we touch briefly on who kind of stood out for both, like you look in the men's team, the shooting of Patrick Whelan for outshot, shooting 85% from three, but it was also the kind of the baptisms of fire or kind of realisation of how good Mihailo Jovicic is.
Yeah, I think that was... There obviously could be some doubts of him because of how he's not played consistently well during the games prior to this one. This was the game that defines why we brought him in. It's that experience of playing against these tough teams in a tough environment where everything is a fight from start to finish. And he just had this savvy and calm about him throughout this moment where he just seemed more in his element than he has in the BBL up to this point. And that's credit to him. He found his rhythm and he worked with it, because the one thing I was noticing for that game in Romania, there, whenever there are players that are playing particularly well or getting the ball, they're specifically jeering them in a different way to just chanting for the game.
Yeah.
There was only two players that really stood out for me that were getting that sort of jeering: Patrick Whelan and Mihailo Jovicic. Every time they touched the ball, the atmosphere changed in there, where it was like, rather than it being like a football chanting for a match, it was they're specifically trying to target them and put them off their game. And it didn't work. And credit to both of them. It was amazing to watch from the sidelines.
I also think you've got someone like, and even at the weekend, we'll touch on it when it comes to the league business, right? Patrick Whelan really just kind of stands out when it comes to these kind of potential more hostile venues where crowds maybe get on at him. Like, you talk about stats in 20, just under 29 minutes, 24 points, 3 rebounds, an assist. Got to get a steal as well for plus minus a 13 and an efficiency rating of 25. That's almost the perfect type of performance. But it's what he was doing in his defense as well. It was just one of those kind of fantastic performances. And you hear that as well of how he took that shot towards the end, because at the end of the day, points do go a long way when it's a group stage, and that away win is massive. And if we swing it around to talk about the women's game, I don't know how much you saw of it, but you're talking about a match which was so well balanced at half time, 33 all, for then it to be second half 40 points to 19 for towards the Gladiators, winning it 73-52. And you know what, Mitchell, it's one of the actually brilliant atmospheres I've been in. Every game at the kind of Amphitheatre has been good so far, but that one was special. It was a really knowledgeable crowd for being only, I think it was 511, but it again was Neba Nice stepping up, showing her might. 19 points, 2 rebounds, bags and assist. And she was brilliant. Like, it was one of those ones where she came off the bench and just made a massive difference.
I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I unfortunately didn't get to see too much of it. I caught the very, very end of it just because of how it kind of worked out. And credit to him, that was an incredible win. And that's massive for the women's game. It's massive for the team. That's, I mean, if you think about it, their only games they've had, again in their prep for this, has been really when they went for Spain for that week away. And they won 2 of 3 games, which was a massive achievement. But you could always put that down to something could be going on with the preseason, what's going on. This is the first game of Euro Cup. This is their first game competitively playing in a competition where they could proceed forward. And if they play like that, there's nothing that can stop them.
Yeah, and you just have to look further down that women's team. Kirsty Brown, 10 points, 5 rebounds, starting the match alongside Bintu. This combination of those two. Bintu had an efficiency rating of 18, 12 rebounds, 4 steals. She was phenomenal. Like, it was just contributions for the whole team. Ariadna had 7 assists, 9 points. That's a near double-double. It was... And this is what you notice by a Miguel Ortega team. Even Sam Roscoe was 10, 6, and 4. It's a full contribution, and that's something we'll touch on when we talk about their kind of league game as well. It was, you're just looking at full team, full intensity, and it's super impressive to see. It was like listening to, going to the press conference afterwards and listening to Erin and Miguel talk, and you just see about his journey and how anyone's able to step up any night, and the starting lineup will change all the time. And it's fascinating to see what both teams are going to be doing, especially kind of heading towards what is a new week.
Definitely. I think the women's team is very much a Swiss Army knife. They've got so many different tools at their disposal. And
that's a brilliant descriptor. I love that.
There's so many players on that team that any given night could just take over the game. And in this game for against Benfica, it was Geneva had an amazing game, had 19 points. Kirsty Brown had 10. Sam Roscoe had 10. Like, that's a good split. And pretty much everyone, aside from Kian and Robin, was on the board. That in itself is a really good sign of a deep team, the fact that everyone is contributing in some way, shape, or form to get a win.
And everyone's, like, having now seen them, the women's team twice live and having seen a practice, everyone is dialed in. Everyone is in on every play. And it's testament to what the culture that the team are building, that we're going to see that probably throughout the season. And there'll be tougher tests. Benfica will probably look to bounce back in Portugal. And it's really good to see what the rest of or the next couple of weeks look like. Because it is, unfortunately for the women, a really start-stop domestic campaign.
That is interesting to see that. I mean, their focus will definitely be on the European campaign, but as you said, the consistency of games at the start of the season for them isn't quite there. So they have the opportunity to kind of single in on these European games and get the best performance possible out of them, which is amazing for us. If you think about, we're in this group, London are in another group for the women's. If both of them can get to the playoff stage, that's massive. That's a massive achievement. If we can be not just one, but two British teams in the playoffs for the Euro Cup, the women. Hopefully that happens. And if they keep playing like that, there's nothing stopping them.
Absolutely. So massive well done to both sides in their kind of start to their European journeys in the Euro Cup for the women and the Europe Cup for the men. And we'll touch on the next games for them coming up. So let's get on to domestic action. Both teams were in action at probably actually the first doubleheader at PlaySport for this season. And actually it may be the only one, which is probably quite a sad thing because it was just a brilliant day of basketball. The men, they were up first against the Sheffield Sharks. And what proved to be a tight affair, an 87-83 win for the Gladiators in overtime. In a game that I think Gladiators led by as many as 16 at one point, or 14 or 16 points, was 16. A game that really, after unfortunately Trent Buttrick went down, we let Sheffield back in. And to be honest, some big plays from Pipkins and Kuppernickel really brought them back into it.
Yeah, it was a lot tighter game than you would think if you were watching it from the third quarter. I mean, having that lead, it looked quite comfortable. It looked like we were going to just hold on. And the last 3 minutes came and Sheffield just clicked the gear up and they showed that relentless fight that we've known them for so far this year, and they made it a hell of a game to watch. I mean,
yeah, so for the last three, after Trent unfortunately went down, that last 3.5 minutes, we went three and a half minutes, without scoring a bucket after an and one by Clifton Moore. Our only other points came from the free throw line through Ian DeBoss. In that time, I think Ramsey hit a couple of threes. Pipkins hit a couple of threes. I think Ramsey also had a really tough finish inside. And Sheffield just do what Sheffield do. I think I described them as that kind of friend at the end of the night at a house party who just stays way past the time that they should have been. That game is unfortunately, when, as we said, 25-13, we outscored them in the third quarter. It looked like it was going to be done in the regular time, but unfortunately Sheffield came back and pushed the game to overtime.
Well, if you want a good sellout crowd event, why not take it over to make it interesting?
Yeah, and that overtime period was a really fascinating back-to-back kind of encounter. The Gladiators won the bonus period, which is actually quite a high scoring overtime period, 16-12, through some absolutely incredible shooting from Lucas Paliza. Lucas got given the game MVP. And you know what? Let's hear from him now and what he's got to say on the game. Joy post game with Lucas Paliza, game MVP. Lucas, you were absolutely clutch in overtime. Probably should have been away in the 40, but yeah, it must be good to still get the victory.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought we were playing great, but then this unfortunate injury from Trent when he was going along to the basket, and this happened. I think we were up 12.
Yeah.
From that point, we completely lost our momentum, and you know, overtime. I think it was really tough because when they tied the game, our team was down. But I was just thinking about making simple plays. Simple plays.
Those two corner frees and then a foul as well from three as well. Definitely. Well,
that was a great swing from our team, you know, and finally open. So very happy for this because we needed this win. We really needed it.
I suppose about redemption after last week, struggling away in the road to them as well. So that's kind of a even Z-head.
Absolutely. I think they, at some parts of the game, they made us look funny a little bit. We didn't like that at all. So we wanted to, you know, come back here. Return the favor. No, in the end, it's an overtime win, which is not 20-point win, but we take it.
All it is a win in the column. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Yeah, and I suppose from yourself again, 25 points. The team also, other than yourself, looked like to play really good team basketball throughout. And then, yeah, as you said, when Trent went down, it did look like it stalled.
Yeah, but also throughout the game, we're offensively a little bit stuck. They obviously have a defensive game plan. These guys are not coming here just to play. They execute. So. Well, you know, these troubles that we had throughout the game, then in the last 5 minutes, looked like only exaggerated themselves. Yeah. You know, so I'm really, really happy we didn't, you know, put our guns down and lost the game because the momentum was not there from us at the end of the game. Let's be happy then.
I suppose that's a two in a row after Europe. How was that going to Romania and getting that W over there for the club's first win in Europe?
I think absolutely amazing. Everybody was happy because, you know, this club has big ambitions, and really thank you to everyone from the organization and owners for making this possible, because I think it is not automatic that British clubs play in European competitions. We have the privilege to do it, and I think we, you know, played really well out there in Romania and get the W, so we show everyone that we just don't go there to play, we want to compete.
Yeah, definitely. All right, good win again. Well done during the week as well, and we go again Wednesday.
Thank you.
Yeah, so brilliant listening with Lucas. Lucas was just brilliant post-game, giving us that time to chat and what he really made that difference. And he's the type of player we brought him in for these kind of occasions.
Oh, definitely. And that's something that Lucas is really good at. He doesn't necessarily have to be the flashiest throughout the game, but he's consistent. You know what you're getting with him. And he's such a prominent scoring threat from behind the arc that you have to respect him every shot he takes. And he, like, there was no bigger time to step up than in an overtime period. And he did that.
Did he hit the first 6 points of overtime?
I think that was right. And I would need to check the running order, but I think that's right. There was one play early in the game that I caught when he drove the basket and very smartly drew a foul for an and one. And it was just a savvy veteran move. You don't necessarily see that very often, but he's just got this composure about him, and he held it up in this moment. He did not want to lose this game. You could tell from the bench. He was insistent, we are not losing this game. And we needed that fight. And that showed that even when, like, you can see sometimes with overtimes that if you're the team that have had the lead and you've lost the lead and you're going to overtime, you can be a bit deflated. You can't really keep that momentum going into the final quarter. We had that there. Lucas led the charge, and that was like, enough's enough. We are not losing this game.
There was also a number of, in my opinion, other categories that stood out from a stats-wise for the team. Prince Onwaz contributed massively, 6 assists. As a team, we had 11 steals. And the one big stat we talked about last week was turnovers. This week, only 10 turnovers were given, and which only resulted in 14 points. Sheffield, in comparison, turned it over 16 times. So you can see that the improvement the team made. There'll be obviously things that the coaches will look back on and want to change, make better, to not having to go to overtime. But I suppose that's testament to the kind of the change in Sheffield as the season's gone on. They've come into the season, they've made a roster change, brought in Kipper Nicol, who very established British Basketball League player. He had 16 points. He had 5 rebounds and 3 assists. And is someone who, since his return to the league, has made a massive difference.
I think the Sheffield team are just showing game after game that they can't be taken lightly. I mean, I still stand by Ramsey as one of the most interesting guards to watch this year just because of his defensive intensity. The difference was this game is that we knew it was coming and we were prepared for it better. Because it's different to watch it on video and see how he's acting to actually experience it in person. Once you've seen it once, you know what you're getting. And our guards did a lot better this time than they did before. Pipkins is an athlete. Like I mean, everyone's going to remember that dunk. It's going to be the highlight reel for a while. That was a really, really impressive
athlete. Yeah, that dunk, the whole place just went silence as if like, oh, ouch. Yeah. I'm just glad that wasn't on me, to be honest.
I'm just glad none of our guys were underneath it for the poster.
Definitely. But yeah, great win in the end. It keeps the undefeated streak at home. It puts us, moves us up the table as well, which is what, with how close the kind of domestic season is behind London to a very kind of good place. So it puts us currently fourth in the table. We've played six games. We've got a 4-2 record. So, and are just, and actually we've played the fewest games in the table as well. So looking quite good as we look hopefully up the table with some of our guys coming into a good bit of form. The other game to look at, the second game, opened up the league campaign for the women's side. They played Durham. Durham came into this game announcing their roster late. Not really a lot of information about them and what to expect. Last season, the head-to-head was split 1-1. And these games last season were decided by 2 or 3 points. Obviously, we see the difference in the roster recruited this season by Miguel Ortega. Bringing in a lot of experience, but still got that kind of youthful tinge. And plus, Durham were missing one of their kind of main players. It was also a big night for me. It was my first time calling a game. So to anyone listening to this, hopefully, if you were at the game, you enjoyed it. But if you weren't able to watch the stream, you did not mind my dulcet tones calling the play-by-play.
You were excellent. I listened back to some of it. You did a really good job. And it's and if we're being your first time commentating, it's a great first start. We'll definitely have to get you back on again.
I mean, who knows? But it was a really interesting game to call. It was a good one to kind of start with. And it was a really interesting game played between teams at different levels of preparation and then, unfortunately, different kind of budget sizes as well. The Gladiators came out hot, winning the first quarter 24-3. And you saw quickly the size, the speed, and the all-round more cohesion that the Gladiators had over Durham.
Definitely. And it was a really good team performance as well from the Gladiators. I mean, every single person on the roster had played more than 10 minutes. That's a really good achievement. That's the fact that you've got a 12-man roster that you're that deep. And yes, you're winning by a large margin against Durham. That's in itself, if you've got a margin like that, everyone should be playing good minutes. But still, you could see that everyone was clued in on the same system. Everyone was playing the rotations. Everyone was moving the ball well. And you could see that everyone is committed to making this work. And I think that the women are going to be really good this year. I mean, as you kind of said, the budget difference is quite big with Durham. But the expectation now is, okay, we know what they're capable of at European level. We know what they're capable of against teams that maybe are probably going to be at the lower end of the league for the women's side. What happens when they play against a better team? What happens if they play against a Sheffield, or when they play against a Leicester or a Newcastle, they're playing next week? That's the next step for us. We're working our way up to London, but we need to get ourselves ready for that first. And this is just the first step to get us there.
Yeah, and in this game alone, you're talking about the Gladiators had 52 points off the bench. It's a really massive thing we're seeing from Miguel Ortega, and that no given week his starting lineup was going to be the same. He started with a different core team that played midweek to Benfica, but it was also kind of the first big game we've seen from Avina Putra, who came out in 22 minutes, 19 points, 6 rebounds, 5 steals, 3 blocks, and it was great to see a young girl really shine on the stage.
Oh, 100%. And she showed in that game alone that she will be a force inside. I think I'm trying to think of a weakness in the squad in terms of what I think the biggest flaw is, but I think our centre rotation in particular is so strong. If you think about who we've got as playing the 4-5 this year, you've got Putra, Kirsty Brown, Sam Roscoe can play inside as well. Like that three-person rotation is in itself.
And you're missing out Bintu from that, who's massively defensively.
Yeah, I'm not even mentioning Bintu, but it's like such a strong squad. It's hard to stop in. Hard to think that, okay, if someone's having a bad night, we're done. That's not going to be the case. If one person's having a bad night, someone else is stepping up. And it's just one after another after another. And it's just going to be relentless throughout the game, especially with Miguel's style of play.
Absolutely. And it was just every play, even though it was a blowout victory, every play, the girls were full court pressing. You just didn't have to look. Chantel Handy in 11 minutes, 4 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal. And it just tells you the impact everyone can have throughout it. Even Robin, who went scoreless, she had 6 rebounds, 4 assists. And just the intensity and the pace in which the game was played. It was one thing that Rona and I on commentary kept talking about. It was just how impressed we were. They were kept pressing. And the difference is huge. And for Durham, they were led by Janica Griffith-Wallace, who after the first quarter really found her groove. She was taking a majority of their team shots. She went for 20 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. She was backed up by Klassen, who again, she didn't score till the fourth quarter, played 40 minutes, but she was 7 points, 9 rebounds. And they're a team that's going to get better as the season goes on, as the team get to know each other, and adding in a couple of pieces, no doubt, as they go. It was a really one-sided affair. The Gladiators will come up against tougher teams, but from Durham's point of view, no doubt they will get better as they get used to playing with each other.
Definitely. I think, as you said, because there's kind of a late compilation of the squad, it's hard to really get much of that cohesion early. I mean, look at the assist stat in itself. They had 7 assists. We had 30. That is a massive discrepancy in any team. And having 30 assists means that you're playing a really good team-based style basketball. You're not being salvaged with the ball. And for a team that maybe don't have that cohesion yet, they're still learning about each other, and having a low assist count is probably to be expected. It's why you see two players playing 40 minutes. Griffith Wallace played 37 and a half minutes. And you look at that, and if they're playing this long with a rotation where only 7 girls played for that squad, there's going to be a lot of tired legs there.
Yeah, they had a lot of girls having to play the full 40. I was incredibly impressed by people like Klassen, by Hendershot, who, as the game got going, looked a lot more comfortable. Hendershot played in the league before last season. She'd won, I think she got 8 Polar Maze Player of the Month award, for example. So clearly a talented squad that potentially we caught on a good day and were able to kind of just blow them away. So, again, brilliant result for the women to start their domestic campaign off with such a big victory. And no doubt there'll be tougher games on the road from there. Mitchell, let's move on and preview some of our games this week coming up. Both squads face tough European encounters. Both teams are at home this week. The men play Anvil Vlachovec, which will be a compelling matchup. Anvil are top of their domestic league at the moment, 5-0. However, they did lose out to Bilbao last week, 79-83. A compelling game indeed, with the news and stuff of potentially over 100 Polish fans travelling over to watch this game. We're really in for a treat on Wednesday night.
We really are. Anvil are such an interesting team to face, because I think that provided we're taking the momentum of the Sevilla game and the Sheffield win with us, it's going to be a really good matchup to see how well do we match up against when we're taking that step above. You're looking at, as you've already said, they're domestic leaders in their league. They're also the Europe Cup champions from last year. Like, for me, there's no bigger privilege than welcoming a former champion of the competition you strive to be a part of consistently. And bringing Anvil to Scotland for this competition, it's going to be a really good chance to see how do we match up against someone that's already shown they're capable of winning this competition.
Yeah, and they're going to be looking to bounce back from a tough game to Bilbao. Bilbao and Anvil are probably the top two, or they are the top two teams in the group. If you listen to our Josh Bett preview on the kind of Europe Cup, he was one that kind of was singing their praises with their just the sheer amount of depth and talent they have for their team. And that can be seen in how they've started their domestic campaign. And it's when you look at them throughout, you're just looking at both their kind of their full roster and the stats they have domestically. They've got Victor Sanders, who's flying in through five games, as I've just clicked off him, unfortunately. He's averaging almost 20 points a game, five assists. That alone is massive. He's supported by Luke Petrasek, and I think that was one that Josh called out. He's 16 points, four rebounds. So it's going to be a compelling matchup. It should be an amazing atmosphere there in play sport. And you just also hope, with potentially the differences in the teams, our guys come in fired up, ready to put a performance on the floor.
They will not leave anything off the court, I can tell you that much. If after that one win, the hardest challenge I always find is getting that first win in a new competition. They've got that already. They've went to a hostile environment and they won. Now they're playing in front of a home crowd against a team that are going to give us everything they've got. Now they have to give us some level of respect, the fact we've already beaten a team in the competition. They're 0-1. We're 1-0. We're the team that have the advantage in terms of positioning in the group. All it takes is for us to have another good form, another good two or three quarters of consistent play, and we can potentially take a win off Anvil, which would be massive.
Yeah, so hopefully so. That game's Wednesday night, 7:30 tip off. Tickets, I think, will be on the Fan Base app as well. So if you get a chance, get along. The game, if you're unable to be there, will be on YouTube as well, which hopefully, and you saw it with the last time, the amount of fans across the kind of British league supporting the Gladiators in against that Romanian team and what turned out to be such a brilliant win. So hopefully momentum will be taken in. The team look to be kind of finding a bit more shape and a bit more of a kind of style to how Coach Murray wants to play, and players are looking more settled, and it should be a compelling matchup on Wednesday. If we then look on the Thursday, the women's team take on Basket in the Moor Capital, the Belgian top flight team, who were also victorious over Benfica in round one. They beat Benfica 60 points to 52. They also, in their domestic league, have started promising. They're 4-1. And come into the game on Thursday with a lot of form. My knowledge of the women's game isn't great, but they've got, you're looking at stats for them, they've got their one of their Americans, Peyton Whitted. She's 15 points, 9 rebounds. They've got a Portuguese girl, Ana Rodriguez, who's 16.5 points, 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists. So it's going to be a compelling matchup, and it'll be really interesting to see two new teams going against each other.
Definitely. And looking at the percentages from how they've played so far in the tournament, obviously we've only played one game, so you have to take that with a pinch of salt. But field goal-wise, we usually score 40. We were scoring 46% in our game. They've been held to 34% in their games. Rebounding-wise, we're pretty much even. It's quite close. We tend to get more assists. We got more steals in our game. Turnover-wise, we did, however, have more steals than they've been averaging as well. So there will be a lot to kind of prepare for this game for the women's side. And the Moor will be an interesting challenge for them, because this is obviously a team that are winning games in the Euro Cup as well. So, again, it's that next step up for the women. This is their next challenge. How do they compare against a team of this calibre? And knowing Miguel, knowing how he operates, he will be more than prepared for anything the Moor could throw at us. And I think that it could be a really exciting game for the women to potentially get a second win.
Definitely. And you look at the I'm just actually looking through and seeing a bit more. So obviously for Benfica against us, I think her name, Lani Cooper, she lights out against us. She's got 18 points, but against Namur only 8. Benfica still scored 52 points, so that's their kind of average. So it'll be really interesting to see how Namur do and what will be a really interesting game. I've really enjoyed both women's games so far. The energy, I keep saying the same thing, the energy, the aggressive play they play at. They're a strong, confident team, and hopefully the girls take that into Thursday night against Namur, and they can go 2-0 in the European group.
Definitely. And it's, we just, all we need now is the fans to back them up. We just need that attendance at the game. We just need people there cheering them on. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be, hopefully be as close as I can to the action to see just how the teams compare, because this is going to be a fascinating matchup to watch.
And this is what we see in Europe. It's amazing seeing our squads compete against some of the top teams across Europe, or just well-regarded teams in their domestic leagues as well. And it'll be really good, just exciting chapter in this club's kind of journey so far, to see teams in Europe coming to Scotland, coming to East Kilbride. And you look at the start the women's team have, then you've got to say they've got a massive chance of doing something in this group.
They do. And the advantage they have is that they've got a lot of players on the roster that have a lot of experience and a lot of understanding of European basketball and what the challenges can be with that. Not just Miguel himself, but some of the players also have that sort of knowledge of playing at other high levels and knowing what to expect of playing at that level. I mean, you've got GB Nationals on our roster who represent us internationally. You've got players we've brought over from overseas who also have that experience for the women's team. That's a lot of knowledge that we can translate across and pass between different players to get an understanding of what to expect against this caliber of team.
So, yeah, massive good luck to both teams as they take on such another massive week of basketball action across Europe. Fingers crossed the results go the way we want them to do. So, Mitchell, let's finally look ahead to the weekend's games after that, and which is going to be two really kind of compelling matchups. We'll start with the women's team first. They take on the Newcastle Eagles away from home. Newcastle started their domestic campaign really well. They got a 12-point win over the Manchester Giants. By looking at it, I think the Giants were short of a couple of players, but it's still going to be a great test for the girls. And another team that, other than now being able to watch them on this, it's going to be a compelling matchup.
Definitely. And again, it's that same mantra again. It's that next step up. This is a better level team. This is a proper game that we played them last year, and they were good matchups against Newcastle. And the hope will be that we've played them last year, we played well against them. Now we need to up the ante and play better. And looking at their game against Manchester, it'll be interesting to see, do they keep this shorter rotation they seem to have played? Do they maybe expand it further where more people are playing double-digit minutes? Potentially, we don't know. But their starting guard, Doherty, only played 6 minutes. That would lead me to believe that she was injured. So hopefully she's healthy and can play. If not, it's a change in our system and how we adapt to fit whoever becomes that starting guard for them.
Absolutely. And if we switch on to the men's game, they have the Leicester Riders in town as they come to play Sport on Sunday night. Did you tell me it's a 6 p.m. tip-off?
I believe it is a 6 p.m. tip-off.
6 p.m. tip-off, so Leicester Riders will be in town. They come off a defeat to the Newcastle Eagles, in which was a really heated encounter between the two teams. Multiple players fouling out and getting technicals, and which was actually a really great game of basketball played with such great energy. Newcastle taking that one with Ricky McGill scoring 31 points. But for me, looking at the Leicester Riders, they come in with a great youthful squad, mixed in with those experiences of Kimball McKenzie, Samuel Adolu, guys that have played a good number of years professional. And coach Rob Pastor-Nostro is always one that's great to watch in the sidelines, just from his energy and passion. So this is going to be a compelling matchup.
Definitely. I think another point to note is Leicester plays Surrey on the 26th, so Thursday, before they come down to us on the Sunday. So it's their second game of the week. It's also our second game of the week. So there's going to be some fatigue on both sides. Recovery-wise, we should be okay. I wouldn't expect any major concern unless injuries happen in either of the games. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But we know how Surrey play. And they play a very high-energy basketball. And they will run and run and run. And Leicester will be challenged to try and keep up. And we'll see what happens with the game. It's going to be a really fun matchup for us. It's our first time welcoming Leicester into the new arena. And it'll be a good opportunity to see. Let's see how we do against a team that finished top two last year. Top three even, sorry, because Bristol finished second, didn't they?
No, Leicester finished second.
Okay, then top two then.
So Leicester obviously coming into this season, a couple of defeats to their name. I think they're sitting on the same amount of wins as us. They've played one more game than us and set 4-3. So it's a really much a top four battle kind of game here. Leicester have come into this game with a couple of really standout players playing that real youthful starting five. All five of their starters tend to be the rookies. Which one of their kind of rookies have impressed you so far?
It's tough to really pick just one. As you kind of touched on with the roster that Paternoster is playing, how he's playing them, the rookies are all kind of having their moments, and they're having moments of really good performances. And it's hard to really, for me anyway, it's hard to really pick up just one player that's really standing out. I mean, for me, I think I look at their roster and I think that I'm just pulling it up now to make sure I have the names correct, because I'll get it wrong, no doubt.
Yeah, for me, I'll go first then, because
go for it.
At first, I wasn't massively big on Pinson. He's really kind of settled into it. But the one that kind of intrigues me the most is Myron Thomas. He double-doubled against Newcastle. But he's someone as well who, when he's played more minutes, he tends to show more, if that makes sense.
Mm.
And he was maybe lucky to stay on the floor that night. But when he did, he kind of showed a bit of maturity and being able to stay on the floor. He almost played the full game. He played 36 minutes, 22 points, 10 rebounds. And he's got that combination of speed and athleticism that, as a kind of 3-4 man in this BBL, can make a massive difference. So from a matchup point of view, he plays a lot of on the fast break, getting out on transition. So I feel that's going to be a really interesting matchup.
I would agree with that. Myron Thomas has played really well so far. He's had some really good performances. For me personally, I like Jaron Holmes. His style of play is it reminds me very much of Larry Austin Jr. for Newcastle, but a bit bigger, a bit tougher. He just seems to play with that physicality that I think really, really works in this league. And watching the games he's played so far, when he gets going, he's a problem. Outside of that, Caleb Asprey's a wild card. We've seen what he can do when he does play well, but we also know the issues he can have in terms of if he gets wound up, if he starts being a bit too chatty, it can cause some problems with the referees. And if that happens early in the game, then maybe he doesn't play as much as he might want to. He's someone we have to keep an eye on, because if he gets going, much like any of the young players, they're all going to be a problem if they get their ball in the basket enough times.
And this is where you look at the matchups and experience of guys like playing against guys like Kimball before, playing against Pat Whelan, having experience of playing with TJ Law, Kimball. That can make a massive difference in any kind of preparations. And it's going to be a really interesting week. As you said, both teams have matches heading into this. Into this matchup, and it's going to be a really compelling viewing, in which to me is going to be one of the highlight games of the week. I think there's a lot, which is happening at the moment. We've got a lot of teams playing a lot of games really quickly. There's been a lot of chat this week about that, being teams playing on the back of head double dinner weekends, the back-to-back nights, the home and away difference in wins and losses. This year doesn't seem to be as big a thing as previous years. And I think we're in for a treat with this one. This should be another one that should go the full 40 minutes.
Definitely. I'm looking over the roster again to see if there's anybody else. I kind of think that's maybe under the radar that we need to keep an eye on. Just because sometimes the stats can be a bit deceiving. We've touched on actually before they actually went live with this, that we're talking about some players, maybe their stats don't necessarily reflect how they actually played in the game. They contribute in other ways. And I think one player for Leicester could be Samuel Adolu. We've seen he's had these games where he's not necessarily scoring a lot of points, but he's doing a lot of the hard work behind the scenes that's not necessarily coming up on the stat sheet. And how we match up against this team is going to be really fascinating to see for Gareth. What are the challenges of this team? How do you adapt your roster and your rotations to match what Leicester are offering? Because they've got a lot of athleticism constantly that's just being thrown at you after every single sub.
And that's the intensity Rob Paternoster brings, and you don't get the success that he's had over the years within this league without that kind of tenacity. So we're really set up for a really exciting week of basketball, Mitchell. I know you'll be there. I'll be there for a lot of the games, in which we hope is going to be a massively, again, successful week for the club. So our final segment, we missed it out last week because we were silly. It got late. Right, it wasn't actually. We've recorded this much earlier last week. But anyway, Gladiator of the Week, Mitchell. Who are you selecting? And I'll select mine. It can be from either squad, from any of the games, but just one from you, and I'll pick one as well.
I think for me, after a relatively probably a disappointing performance for her last week against Benfica, I think my pick would probably be Yevgenia Putra. I think she had a really good game against Durham, and she was really good. And watching her close up from the court, she was just, there was some smoothness about her game, and she was playing really good team basketball, and she led the charge really well for the Gladiators in their game against Durham.
Brilliant. So for me, I'll go from the men's team. I'll go with Pat Whelan for his performance on Wednesday night, shooting such a high percentage. He scored, I think it was his fourth, maybe his fifth three, actually. When he turned, he ran back to half court, gave the double fist pump in celebration, and I'm like, this boy's cooking. And you know what? I was like, he's going to be my Gladiator of the Week for that. I was going to choose Putra as well, but I'll go with Pat Whelan. And yeah, Mitchell, all the best for you this week as well. I will see you Wednesday night, hopefully, at the game. And yeah, good luck to both squads. And yeah, Mitchell, thank you again for joining us on this episode of Gladiators. Are you ready?
Not a problem at all. Glad to be back. Get along to the games if you can. If not, watch from home. It's going to be an exciting week for Gladiators basketball.